Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you this morning that we have the freedom to be able to meet together, to read your word, and to worship you. And we pray that you would speak to us now as we look at this psalm. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, as many of you know, this year is the Queen's 90th birthday celebrations. And that is quite an achievement to make it to 90. So now, over the last couple of weeks, the palace has been sending out invitations. And invitations to precisely 90-year-olds. Inviting them to a special birthday celebration. Now, most 90-year-olds in this country have a particular fascination with the royal family. So you can imagine a 90-year-old sitting down to go through their post and receiving a letter from Buckingham Palace inviting them to a special birthday party. Well, we have before us this morning an even more incredible invitation. Psalm 118 invites us to come before God, the creator of the universe, and to give him thanks. So read with me here, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. You might have noticed in the reading that the exact same words are found at the end of the psalm, verse 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. So this seems to be the central purpose of the psalm, inviting us to give thanks to God for his goodness and his boundless love towards us. And it continues into, this invitation continues into verses 2-4. Let Israel say, let the house of Aaron say, let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. And the picture we have here is of the psalmist, perhaps a priest, calling the congregation to follow him in his worship. And it's quite possible, given the structure of these verses, that Psalm 118 was meant to be sung antiphonally, meaning that the priest would say or sing a psalm, and the rest of the congregation would sing that same line back to him. So the psalmist is leading us in our worship. And there's also another similar picture here within the psalm of being led into worship. You look with me here, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. And the image is of the priest leading a procession up the mountain to Jerusalem. And as he gets there, he calls out, open to me the city gates of righteousness, that I may enter through. And the train of righteous ones follow in behind. Now, of course, the procession doesn't stop at the gates. It goes on to the temple, and they offer sacrifices, and they sing songs. And there's hints of that later in the psalm. Verse 27, bind the festal sacrifice with cords. Well, so the psalmist leads us in a song of praise, but more specifically, he's leading us in a song of salvation. The story is told that a few hundred years ago, at a time when they were in process of abolishing slavery, that the government was particularly fearful that freed slaves would turn on their masters or former slave owners. There would be chaos, there would be a massacre. And indeed, that was one of the main arguments put forward as to why slavery shouldn't be abolished. So, well, of course, the day did eventually come, and the slaves were freed, and the report gradually filtered back to the UK, and it was given to a shocked House of Commons, because the report told of how the freed slaves, when they had heard of their freedom, had gathered in the churches to worship God, even until the early hours. And then the next day, they woke up and went to work, but as freed men and freed women. And these politicians could not comprehend the joy that these Christian slaves lived with. It's amazing. Well, Psalm 118 is also something of a freedom or a salvation song. Typically, it would have been sung at the end of the Passover festival, which remembered, of course, how God had delivered the Israelites from the hand of the Egyptians, from slavery and oppression. And we see these themes of freedom and salvation throughout the psalm. We just read a few of the verses. If you look with me at verse 5. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. He answered me and set me free. We can look at verse 13. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Or even we could look down there, it's 21. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. Now, of course, within the wider context of the Bible, we learn of a greater slavery. We're told that the natural state of a person is to be enslaved to death. Because we've sinned, in God's eyes, we deserve death. And maybe it seems that there's no escape from death. But look here at verse 17. Psalmist sings, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Though the Lord disciplines me, he has not delivered me over to death. So the salvation which the Israelites are singing about is a salvation even from death and from judgment of sin. Now, this psalm is often quoted within the New Testament, and we've had an example of that already this morning in Matthew chapter 21, how Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and he's met by cries of Hosanna, which means save us. And they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, of course, we've read about that this morning in our psalm, haven't we? Look at verse 25. Save us, we pray, O Lord. And then in the following verse, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So the people at the time of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem are reminded of Psalm 118. And they recognize that Jesus is the one who's come to save. Jesus is the one who comes to lead them through the gates of righteousness. While there are many other uses of the psalm, which given the time, we could look at. But one of the most interesting things about Psalm 118 is that Jesus himself sang it, and that he led his disciples in singing it. We're told in the Gospels that after the Lord's Supper, they sang a hymn together. Now, of course, the Lord's Supper was at Passover festival, so they would have been singing Psalm 118 at the end of this. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, perhaps we can appreciate this, that on the same night that Jesus was betrayed, on the same night that he was deserted by his dearest friends, that he sweat blood at the prospect of what was before him, he sang and he led his disciples in singing Psalm 118. And also verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now this effectively means that for the Christian, even on the darkest day, you can sing songs of joy and gladness. This is an idea which is completely foreign to the person who does not know Jesus. But when Jesus has set you free from slavery to death and oppression, there's a lot to be thankful for. And I'm reminded here of this story in the book of Acts. Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison because they've been preaching about Jesus. And they're sitting there in prison. And what do? They sing songs. They sing hymns of joy. And the other prisoners are there listening, thinking, "Wow, this is amazing. What have they got to be happy for?" Well, Jesus leads his people in singing songs of joy and salvation, even in the midst of hardship and suffering. Now, of course, we often forget that, don't we? But that's why he calls us. Jesus, our high priest, calls us and invites us to give thanks and worship, to join with him in singing. If you've come this morning and you don't know this joy of being saved from death, this death that your sins deserve, we have some very good news. And the good news is that the story of Easter tells us of Jesus who died the death that we deserved, that we're enslaved to, so that we might be free, and free to live with him for all eternity, and to know his joy and gladness. And so I encourage you to cry out this morning for God to save you. And be encouraged by verse 5, which I read again. "Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free." Well, of course, Psalm 118 is an invitation for all of us. So let us pray and let us give thanks for his goodness. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you heard our cries of distress. We thank you that you heard our cry to save us. You came down to set us free so that we might ever know your goodness and your love towards us. Convict us of these truths, we pray, that we might worship you with a sincere heart. Amen.